Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is Wednesday, May 20th, 2015, and it's a beautiful day here in Clearwater, Florida. Sun is shining. We're probably going to have certain thunderstorms, but not during this hour. It's a beautiful day. Anyway, today is Wednesday, and it's the every other Wednesday when my guest is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And she just has so much knowledge about things that can help your body that aren't drugs, and how to get off of drugs, and how your body works. And she just has so much information. And she's so healthy. I mean, she is the healthiest person I've ever seen. I can hear her laughing in the background. But Pamela lives here in Clearwater, Florida with me. Not with me, but here in Clearwater, Florida, just as I do. And she's very well regarded in our community. And just the first time I met her face to face, I just thought, this is the healthiest looking person I've ever seen. And so I have her on every other Wednesday so that she can just give us all her just wisdom and knowledge. Hi, Pamela.
Hey, thanks for the great intro. Wonderful to be here.
Thank you. So today we're talking about vascular health, and I'm just going to let you explain to our listeners what vascular health is, because I think it's something that most of us don't even think about.
Correct. And this is a really good topic to talk about, because it encompasses a lot of the diseases and a lot of the issues that people face. Vascular health, I want to say in some simple words, is all-encompassing. It can be explained, the blood vessel health and the way the permeability of the blood vessels themselves are connected to, and I'm just going to just go through some of the things we're going to talk about today, literally starting from the top of our body, allergies, sinus infections, all that so forth, glaucoma, eye problems, lungs, asthma, GI, colitis, Crohn's, leaky gut, your legs, peripheral vascular disease, going all the way down through your body, your blood vessels are responsible for, and how they're functioning are responsible for a lot of the outcome of these particular states. And so it's really important that we focus on, like, what can we do to close up the leaky gut membranes, close up the vasculature, and also improve the health of it in case things are impregnated and stuck in these particular areas. And this is what's really important, that these, if you think about it, all of these disease states are directly responsible from vascular health. That's the very, very foundation of the problem.
That's so interesting. Before you tell us everything you want to tell us, I want to ask you a question. So,
yes.
So when toxic chemicals come into your body, they get carried all around your body through the blood vessels, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so yes. Are they damaging the blood vessels as they're moving around?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. When I went and did a search in the Library of Medicine, and we've known this, but there's some really interesting studies. The big thing is the chemicals themselves can cause genes to change and change the expression of them, and can cause cancer, of course. We already know that. And that's what does cause cancer, is the gene expression, the genes are expressed for cancer. And some kind of thing has to nudge it along, and it usually is a chemical that we come in contact with. But of particular concern as well are exposure to particular matter constituents in the air. Okay, and so what we know is that long-term exposure to particulate matter, and this usually these things that you can't see in the air consist of copper,
right,
iron, nickel, potassium, sulfur, silicon, things like that, vanadium, zinc. Moving land around, things get tossed up into the air, and these particulates, and we're not even talking about factories because, you know, we're not really actually near factories here, but it does apply to other people that perhaps are. You're breathing these things in, and it is directly associated with an increased cardiovascular morbidity and mortality. And we know that and what is cardiovascular? Your vascular system.
Right.
So we know that for some reason it is directly correlated. When people are exposed to these things, these airborne particulates that we breathe in, that this is a very poor outcome as far as cardiovascular health. And this actually might explain why cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in the country.
Well, you know, the EPA has said that air pollution, indoor air pollution actually, is the number one health problem in the country.
Yeah.
That would make sense because we're breathing all these gases and particulates, from consumer products that we have in our homes, unless, of course, you've been listening to the show and going to my website and taking all of those out of your homes.
Yeah, well, no, it's true. And it's important that people realize that we have some control over these things, but also there's some things that are way out of our control, and we have to be responsible and understand that, you know, most people are going to have some kind of an issue in their lifetime. Let them, maybe they have asthma, maybe they have leaky gut, maybe they have IBS. All these things are related to the blood vessels, and that's why we really need to focus on what's the very bottom line. The basement membrane is where all these problems originally take place.
Okay, so go ahead and tell us about our vascular system, because I learned so much from you. We've all, I think, taken biology and things in school, but I think that most people are not aware of what's going on in their bodies. When I ask people, like, do you know what your body systems are? People say, what? And the cardiovascular system is a very, very important system. But when we hear that word cardiovascular, I think most people don't know that cardio means heart and vascular means your blood vessels. And so anytime you hear that now, just think heart and blood vessels. It's the whole system in your whole body. So tell us what the cardiovascular system does.
Okay, so you have to think of it kind of like the pipeline, right? It's all these blood vessels. We have these really small blood vessels, these capillaries, where, you know, like literally these red blood cells are going through single file. But then you have these large areas where there's blood flow is massive and it's fast. So when we have, you know, the heart's obviously pumping the blood and it's going through our body, and it's like this closed circulatory system or this closed piping system. Okay, what we want to concentrate on is to say that the blood vessels themselves are made of cells, each individual cell, and they're all sitting next to each other. They're all together, and they form this particular means of allowing, you know, blood to flow through the body and to allow waste products, oxygen, these sort of things, and nutrients to bring to cells. Okay, so we know there's this exchange process taking place, and this is what's really interesting, is that when you think about the blood vessel, you have to realize that our blood vessels are sensitive to things that can cause permeability issues, okay? So what we can focus on first, so I'll just talk about a sinus infection. Let's just talk about that. So a sinus infection, you know, or like runny nose, allergies, when you have this, the fluid has to come from someplace, okay? So what happens is there's permeability issues in the nose and in the sinuses, and the fluid that normally is inside the blood vessel is allowed to escape to some degree, and it goes into the sinus cavities, and then you have to blow your nose. That's how it happens. It's got to come from someplace, and that's what happens. So we think about just the simplicity of it. If we use vascular stabilizers throughout the body, we can have the blood vessels in one area, like the sinuses. Maybe you have, you know, allergic rhinitis, you have allergies. You could affect that, but there's also the other part. So I tell people, like, a good example is when somebody has spider veins, or their blood vessels are breaking really easily, and they have a lot of bruising. They have blood vessel problems elsewhere. The same, I see this a lot too, like with people that have hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids, you're going to have trouble with blood vessels in the eye. You're going to have allergies. You're going to have other things too, because the blood vessels that are swelling in the rectum are also swelling in other areas as well. And that's the thing that people really need to get their head around, that inflammation and swelling and permeability issues in one area of the body with the blood vessels can affect another. In fact, even vice versa, in a person in the GI tract, it can also affect their eyes, because the blood vessels in the eyes might be affected as well. And this is what's really important. These things are all interconnected. So if you're having one set of symptoms, you might eventually start having others.
Because the basic problem is your vascular system.
Right. Exactly. And it's not confined to just one area, because it's kind of all connected. And that's what people should see. So, like, say somebody has asthma. We can just talk about the difference. Like, we talked about the sinuses. Maybe someone has glaucoma. They might also develop having some issues with GI issues as well. Okay, so a lot of times when people have what a lot of the alternative people classified as, like, leaky gut.
Yeah.
But it can be kind of like IBS is what maybe the doctor would call it. And maybe the person has issues where they have diarrhea and constipation, or maybe they have a lot of cramping. Maybe they feel like they're having allergies, and, you know, the hallmarks of leaky gut is that the person just doesn't feel well when they're eating certain foods. And
yeah,
the reason why is because the permeability in the gut has been compromised, and particulates are allowed to go into the bloodstream and make antibodies. And so you develop allergies.
We need to go to break. We need to go to break. But when we come back, I want you to start right there and and talk about what happens when particulates are going into the bloodstream. We'll be right back. My guest, you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest is Pamela Seafeld, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And in fact, she helps people get off prescription drugs by giving them natural alternatives. Pamela, before we talk about leaky gut syndrome, as we started before the break, tell our listeners about how they can call you.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So if you have any questions about your prescription medications, or if you have any health issues that you would prefer not to be on prescription medications, you can call my pharmacy. My consultation is free, and I will be glad and very honored to help you and your family. The number here at my pharmacy is 727-442-4955.
Great. Now tell us about leaky gut syndrome. The way you just started just was so interesting because you explained exactly what was happening.
Right. Okay, good. So what's happening is the permeability issues in the leaky gut, the blood vessels are allowing space between them. They're allowing the fluid to move back and forth more copiously and more exchanging than they should. And as a result of that, the foods that you're eating, certain things are not supposed to be passing into the bloodstream. They're going into the bloodstream and you're making antibodies to them. So all of a sudden, like, you may think you're getting allergic to banana or whatever. And that's what's happening because these foods are priming the immune system, because the immune system will see something in the blood and recognize it as foreign. So when people have leaky gut and they have all these food sensitivities and different things like that, what is it really happening? It's the permeability of the gut. So all of these issues...
But when you say permeability of the gut, I think you're really
correct.
Saying, if I understand this, it's the permeability of the blood vessels.
Correct.
In the intestines.
Yes.
So you have
the
intestines...
The microvilli, the small areas there where the absorption takes place at that particular location, the blood vessels are inflamed, and they're not just inflamed, but they're allowing, they're compromised. They're allowing things to come in and out, and the exchange back and forth from the gut in an unreasonable manner. And as a result of that, things are getting into the gut, and they're making people feel sick. And that's case in point when people, like, all of a sudden they'll eat something, and then all of a sudden they're just not feeling well. Well, that might be what's happening, and they might have this issue going on. And the great part about it is that this particular problem and the ones we discussed, you know, prior to that, you know, they're highly responsive to supplements. So that's really a great thing. I mean, when somebody has a GI issue or even some of these other things we're talking about, I usually say the vascular health is highly responsive to supplements, and it's pretty inexpensive and easy to treat. So anyone that's having GI issues, the first thing you should think is permeability issues. And this applies to somebody that's getting colitis, somebody that has Crohn's disease. You know, obviously Crohn's in some cases will need treatment and steroids and things like that. But most people, when they're in remission or have to prevent a recurrence, they can use things that stabilize the blood vessels and the inflammation in the blood vessels themselves and have a great outcome.
So what kinds of supplements would you give somebody for this?
Okay, so when we look at what supplements work for allergies, for the eyes, for the lungs, for the GI, we could look at several different things. And what the studies show is that bioflavonoids are highly responsive, and that would include rutin, quercetin, and hesperidin. Now, I tend to like quercetin quite a bit, but the studies show, especially on allergic rhinitis, that rutin is highly effective for that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, resveratrol is another supplement that works very, very well. And actually, the new studies show that when someone's actually had like a spinal cord injury, or they've had like bulging and hernia disc, any kind of back problems, where it's causing inflammatory changes in the body as a result. And believe it or not, it's all encompassing. It can change the whole body chemistry. That resveratrol seemed to help that, and it helped the injury on the spine as well. So that I thought was pretty interesting.
Hmm.
That it works on both sequences, because it has vascular stabilizing properties, but it also seems to have some neurological positive outcomes as well. So that's very important as well. I mean, what I tell people too is that using the detox, the body anew, is important because things, permeability issues, especially the sinuses or the lungs, when things get stuck in the area, the lung tissue, in the tissue, in the sinus cavities and the mucous membranes, when things get stuck in those particular areas, we know for a fact that moving it out makes a big difference, because if the area is constantly irritated with particulates like the gut, if the area is constantly irritated with particulates in different areas of the nose, the mouth, wherever the problem may be, especially the lungs, people with asthma, if you don't get the particulates out, that's where the problem is. Remember we were talking prior about you know, particulates in the air, things you're breathing in? Well, they get stuck in those membranes, and then if they're allowed to stay in there, they're going to start moving in and out. That's where some of the issues really are. You need to remove it.
What about bloody noses? What causes bloody noses?
Well, that's a good question. Bloody noses, well, first of all, it can be spontaneous, which means, you know, just shows up out of the blue. It can probably be something that's going on where the blood vessel itself, maybe the person's been blowing their nose so much that it's actually broken a blood vessel, and so it continues to bleed. It could be the person's their platelets are too low. And I always tell people, if they're starting to show lots of bruising or there's any kind of, lots of bloody noses, things like that, that you really need to check your CBC with your doctor and just see where your platelets reside, because you'd be surprised. Some people come down with really low platelets. I know that, you know, your platelets, most people are probably going to be around 250, their number, you know, when the platelets are taken. But you can also see people quite frequently. I see people in the hospital that are 100 or below. And you can have a spontaneous bleed if it's below 20. I mean, like, you'll start bleeding anywhere. Most people probably don't think about that. And you have to look, too. Maybe your multivitamin has a lot of vitamin E in it. There's other ways you're getting blood-thinning activity. Maybe a lot of people take a baby aspirin for cardiovascular disease and also to protect against cancer. Baby aspirin is excellent for both of those things. Mm-hmm. So it can really be other factors, too. A lot of times you need to look and see where the platelet count resides, because that just gives you a clue as to whether you need to look in that particular direction, because the platelets will definitely affect whether it's clotting or not.
Okay, good. That's good. We only just have a few seconds before we need to go to break, so I'm not going to ask you a new question. I'll just say during these few seconds that you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and my guest is Pamela Seefeld, and her website is botanicalresource.com, and you can go there and get her phone number and find out how to call her and get a free consultation. We'll be right back after the break and hear more about vascular health and what you can do. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynette, and my guest today is Pamela Seefeld, registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And she really does get a lot of people off prescription drugs and feeling healthier and happier. Her website is botanicalresource.com, and you can call her for a free consultation. And so, Pamela, talk to us about peripheral neuropathy. I think so many people have a problem with that. There's so many diabetics in the world. And
but
how
the peripheral neuropathy is the nerves being affected. And when someone has peripheral vascular disease, and they can also have...
Let's clear this up. Okay, go ahead.
It's okay. It's all right. They all sound kind of the same. But the peripheral vascular disease, and that's important to kind of focus on when we're talking about the vascular health. Okay, there's several different things that can cause it, okay? Diabetes, smoking, chemicals, those particulates I was talking about, untreated hypertension. And it's really important for your listeners to know that, you know, when someone has hypertension and it's not treated, it does damage the blood vessels. And I'm not saying it's necessarily going to cause permeability issues, but it can lead to that. But what the bad part about it is that, it puts strain on the blood vessels themselves. So it's very important that if someone does have high blood pressure and perhaps they don't want to be on the prescriptions, they can just give me a call and I can tell them what would work naturally and be very effective. And that's really very important to realize there are options for that. So a person that has abnormal cholesterol, it's another thing. So say someone's kind of procrastinating and their cholesterol is like 290, 300. And trust me, I don't think cholesterol is the big demon that they think it is, okay? Half the people that have heart attacks, their cholesterol is in the normal range, so it doesn't really have anything to do with cholesterol. But we know if inflammation's there, permeability problems are in the blood vessel, and then you add extra cholesterol in the bloodstream, you're going to have a problem, and that problem will be that the arteries are going to start collecting the cholesterol and letting it form this peripheral vascular disease where it just narrows, and so as a result of it, you have this terrible circulation in your legs. And you can tell when people have peripheral vascular disease or vascular problems in the legs because they'll be maybe swollen, they'll be red. Maybe it'll lead to what's called cellulitis, which is an infection under the skin. And many times the people will complain of pain. That's the most common thing. People will be walking and they're like all of a sudden their legs start really hurting badly and they can't walk stairs, they can't walk across the yard, things like that sort. So this is widely preventable. So when someone has a vascular issue, we would want to put them on those bioflavonoids that I was talking about. There's also a homeopathic product that I use a lot for people that have issues with circulation in their legs, and it's called Circulation, no doubt. And it does, it is, and it's a great name for it because this particular product increases blood flow down to the legs about 90%. But you can also use arginine, which is an amino acid that has dilating effects on the blood vessels. And there's a product from Thorn called Perfusia, which I use quite a bit, and it dilates arterial blood flow. It increases about 40%. So we can use that for the legs, but I also like to mention for our male clients that are listening on the radio today that using Perfusia or using arginine to increase blood flow in the legs also increases blood flow to someplace else. And so we use that for erectile dysfunction. And if you think your blood vessel issue is just delegated solely to your legs or to your eyes or to your sinuses, that might explain some of the other things that are going in the private areas of the body. And that's, I think that's important for people to realize that that's connected as well.
You know, it's so interesting to me that you keep saying that all of these things are connected and that this one thing in vascular health can be affecting all these different areas of your body. And yet, in the world of drugs, there's a different drug for each of these different conditions.
You are the smartest woman in the world. Yes. Doesn't that seem amazing that they have a drug for each condition and they have a whole series of doctors for every single condition we've mentioned for subspecialties? But really, when it comes down to it, the vascular health of your body can be reversed and can be improved simply by doing some simple supplements and realizing early on when you start seeing some of these things happening that you need to literally start treating it and start treating it with vigor and until it's finished. And that is really important because when one thing crops up, something else is going to show up eventually, and I can promise people that it'll lead to something else and to the next thing and to the next thing. And I think this really explains a lot of people's just their decompensation of their body and how as they get older they expect things to start showing up, and that they do, kind of like you put it out there, you get it. Well, your vascular health is something that is highly responsive, believe it or not, even to vegetables. Eating vegetables in your diet, because there's lots of bioflavonoids in vegetables. Having a big salad with lots of colorful vegetables, you're getting bioflavonoids. Those have vascular stabilizing activity. That's why people that have vegetarian-based diets or having lots of plants in their diet, they have better vascular health and less of these chronic diseases. I mean, it's directly functional to what you're putting on the blood vessels and what you're allowing them to be in contact with.
Does it make a difference if the vegetables are cooked or raw?
Not necessarily. In fact, some vegetables actually release more bioflavonoids when they're cooked. I want to believe it's carrots and some, like broccoli, that they might release more than being raw. Because when they're raw, digestion itself has to break all this down. And especially for carrots, I know the carotenoid vegetables, so we're talking maybe the carrots and sweet potatoes, cooking actually helps them to release their nutrients better. But when you take bioflavonoids in a tablet, you would have to be eating a huge amount of produce to get the same result. So if you actually want to do a treatment, you really would be best off to say, I'm going to take some bioflavonoids. And the great part about bioflavonoids, and even resveratrol, it's pretty inexpensive. It's not a big cost layout, and the results are excellent.
Well, what if somebody's listening to this and they're saying to themselves, well, maybe I should just take these supplements to help strengthen my vascular system and avoid problems. Would that be a good idea?
Oh, most definitely. Prevention's really the key. And anything, and really you've seen this like, kind of like the way I have my practice here, that you're preventing problems. When you see people, and you know, you have to kind of look like the crystal ball of your own life and say, you know, what am I at risk for? You look at your family, you look at your, you know, your blood work, which I do that with people. I'll look at your blood work and say, look, I see this is coming. It's not here yet. And if you can look at someone's leg health, their legs, and if they're bruising really easily, if they have, you know, severe allergies that, you know, just are not seeming to get better, but then all of a sudden they start ending up with hemorrhoids and other problems, or a man gets erectile dysfunction, all of a sudden you start seeing, okay, you're thinking all these problems are just a new problem just showing up, and that's just the way life is, and it's not, because you doing things that stimulate and close up these permeability issues are highly effective. And that's why really taking some bioflavonoids every day, especially for your eye health, is really important. And it's easy. You can put like the quercetin. I use quercetin in liquid quite a bit, and you can just put it in the water, and it really has a great effect as far as allergies, hemorrhoids, things of that nature, but also probably even ED to some degree.
Wow. This is so interesting to me. Every time we do a show, I learn new things from you. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld, registered pharmacist, but she likes to give natural substances instead. Her website is botanicresource.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld, a registered pharmacist who dispenses natural substances instead of drugs through her pharmacy at botanicalresource.com. So, Pamela, this is our last segment now. We only have about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to let you talk about whatever you want to talk about the subject.
You're so sweet. So, I would like to repeat my phone number. If anyone would like to call me and has any questions in particular, I would like to help you. The number here at Botanical Resource is 727-442-4955. That's 727-442-4955. I'd like to talk a little bit about the supplements some more, about looking at preventing these vascular issues. So one of the things that you should probably be taking every day, okay? Now, we were talking previously about the peripheral vascular disease and how fat deposits can go into the arteries. And there's permeability issues associated with that as well. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's areas narrow, and the blood flow can't go through there very well, and so you end up with very painful legs, trouble walking, and you know, in some cases, you know, really needs surgery. So we can prevent the fatty deposits by taking pantothene, which works very good to lower cholesterol, or red rice yeast. I'm sure most people know about that. But the big culprit in a lot of this is elevated fasting blood sugar, okay, which is causing the lipids to rise in the first place. So what I can tell people is you really want to know what your blood pressure number is. We were talking about hypertension causing some problems, causing problems in the blood vessels, and maybe you want to do some homeopathy if your diastolic or systolic is a little bit high. Also, case in point, if your blood sugar and your fasting blood sugar is, you know, around 100, if it's getting up to that point in the high 90s or 100, you need to look at that and say, am I at risk for diabetes, and is this elevated blood sugar in particular causing problems with the vasculature itself?
Well, wait, could you talk about that a little more? How does elevated blood sugar do that?
Right, so what happens is elevated blood sugar is doing several different things. It's increasing circulating cytokines, which cause inflammation in the blood vessel. It also increases blood lipids, triglycerides, cholesterol, and LDL, and in turn, when it's increasing these lipids, and there's inflammation present from the cytokines, which is they're enhanced and what's causing them to start causing inflammation. What happens is the area becomes sticky and allows the cholesterol and the lipids to attach to the blood vessel lining, and so peripheral vascular disease could set in these patients that are not treating the cholesterol itself, and so inflammation, and so it all comes back to your blood pressure and your blood sugar. Those two things really are hallmarks. And remember, you were talking about vascular health, your platelets. You really want to know kind of where they're at and see if they're on the low end of normal. That's something to really watch for bleeding. But in particular, the sugar itself is causing several things. It's causing increased inflammation. It's causing increased lipids. And in turn, it's causing the blood vessels to become occluded. So cardiovascular disease has lots of different tenets, but we know that blood sugar elevation allows for these other damaging aspects to take place.
Very good explanation. Okay, I interrupted you, so go on with what you were saying.
You're good. No, it's good. I like for you, if you have a question in between. So what I would say, that things that people really should be on, you need to be on fish oil, first and foremost. That lowers your triglycerides 30% a month. And fish oil does have lots of other effects on the body. We know it has central nervous system effects for cognition. And we also know, too, that it has antiarrhythmic effects on the blood, on the heart. And the reason why I bring this up is that, since we're talking about the heart and we're talking about the vascular system, I don't know if probably a lot of your clients and the people that you listen to here on this show have heard about this, but atrial fibrillation, okay, is when the heart is kind of quivering, it's beating too fast. And atrial fibrillation shows up in a lot of people. And this is something I see quite frequently working as a pharmacist, that a lot of people are on Coumadin or on blood thinners, and the reason why is they have what's called AFib. And AFib can show up from several different things, but really what commonly happens is if someone has diabetes or is overweight, they're going to be at risk for it. Also, believe it or not, people that are drinking alcohol could put them at risk for AFib, lots of different things. But when you have AFib, you have to be on blood thinners. And a lot of these people are on it for the rest of their lives. So I would say taking care of your heart and taking care of your blood vessels is very, very important. And that might be something that people are kind of overlooking, but I was talking about the resveratrol, looking like it improved from spinal cord injuries, people that had inflammation and also had blood vessel disease.
Mm-hmm.
Taking quercetin, these things are very inexpensive. That would be very good. I think taking fish oil is very important. And I think taking the body anew, when we were talking originally about these particulates getting stuck, chemicals and pesticides as well, but also more particularly the things you're breathing in the air in your house and outside, these things that get stuck in the mucous membranes in your nasal passages and in your lungs, you want to take that out. And by removing it, you're going to have a much better outcome. So that's first and foremost. The body anew with quercetin in the water and maybe an anti-inflammatory, I really like taking something called Tramiel, or you can use Chronogesic. There's some different ones you can put in the water. If you drink that through the day, your inflammation will be drastically reduced. So those are very important.
Let me just insert here. Pamela's been talking about drinking things in water. One of the things that she does with all her clients is that she has us, I'll say us because I'm one of her clients, she has us start the morning with a bottle of water and then add things to it that are liquids like homeopathic remedies and things, and then drinking it through the day is like being on an IV. Didn't you say that once?
Correct, throughout the day.
Yeah,
that's exactly right, because you're getting continuous peaks in the bloodstream of the medication. That's how medications are dosed when someone's in a CCU or an ICU or something like that. I mean, it changes the dynamics of how things work in your body. So when you take a pill and you swallow it and you get a peak in the bloodstream and then, 5-10 minutes after that, it's not around anymore, that's the problem. You want to have something that's released all day long.
Right, and I'm kind of lazy about taking supplements, and so like people will tell me, take one of these at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I go, yeah, I can't remember this. And so for a while I was just taking all my supplements in the morning. And then when I learned this from Pamela, I went, oh, that's why they say take it at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I realized that I just need to train myself to do that. Because the best way to be taking supplements or medications or whatever is throughout the day. And I have my bottle here. It just sits on my desk all day long and I just keep sipping it. And I have my supplements sitting right here and, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so it gets spread throughout the day and then my body gets what it needs when it needs it, instead of just having it all in the morning. And I think that's just a really important point.
It is. And the continual dosing of the medication and the homeopathic medicines in the water is really, really a hallmark of what a lot of the things they do here. Because if you're just taking it where you're having it just in the morning, you're not going to get it all day long. And even people, I'm treating with someone has cancer, or if they have a really severe infection of some sort, we really want to have even a morning bottle and an afternoon bottle. So you're kind of covered all day long. You don't want it where it's temporary, like you're just getting a small peak in the bloodstream. And that's why liquids are really the way to go if you want to have a better outcome for patients. And the same thing with the quercetin. I know they have some quercetin tablets, and I do use those here. But quercetin and liquid will be far more effective for somebody that's looking for this type of outcome than someone that's using it with a tablet and they're taking it three times a day. And you're right about the compliance of somebody taking something sporadically through the day and capsules is very low. And I see that in most people. They'll do the liquid and they'll drink it through the day and bring it to their office and mm-hmm. put it on their desk. Mm-hmm. But taking tablets through the day, it doesn't really work as well. And I can help people if they have questions about any of the vascular issues we discussed today, especially if that's affecting you or your loved one. You can really treat that pretty easily with some bioflavonoids in the body and new to really pull that out. And I would really tell your listeners that that's something that they should really think about, especially. We were talking about the peripheral vascular disease, and also, too, I think allergies are extremely common, and most people don't realize that this is easily treatable. And you know what, too, it's treatable in your pets, your dogs and cats. If they're sneezing a lot or if they're scratching, you can use bioflavonoids for animals as well.
This is just so interesting. We only have just a couple minutes left, but I just want to say that one of the reasons why why I have Pamela on so much is because she has a unique combination of understanding how things work in the body because she's a pharmacist, and then she's applying that pharmacist understanding to using natural substances. And it just makes a combination that I've never seen anyplace else, but makes so much sense to me because usually people just, you know, if they want to use something natural, a natural supplement, they just go to the natural food store, or they read an article or something, and people are taking supplements not understanding how they work in the body. And Pamela does understand these things. And that's why I just appreciate her so much. Anyway.
I appreciate you, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk to these people and let them understand.
Thank you.
It's so just, you know, to regroup, that your vascular health is really in your hands. And this is something, believe it or not, there's some things you can't control. There's some things that people come to me and I'm like, you know what, this is better handled with medicine. And I'm very, very honest about that.
Yes,
now, there's not a lot, but there's, but this is one of them that medicine does not address.
Yeah.
Really, medicine does not address all of these things we talked about, the sinus problem, the asthma, the colitis, the Crohn's, the leaky gut, the peripheral vascular disease. All of these things, to some degree, are preventable and treatable pretty easily with some common supplements, and you know your outcomes are pretty much better than taking a bunch of medications for these things. And I would tell you that's
Pamela, the music's coming on in 2 seconds.
Oh, no.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And she'll be back in 2 weeks on Wednesday. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.